As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show me showdown. Show me your facts, show me the law, and show me your evidence on Turkey Day. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Thursday, Thanksgiving, November the 25th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, always news. I don't know how much news we're going to have today. Hard facts, well, we're all asking that question. Workable solutions, you figure it out for yourself. But if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely not alone, but you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the phone call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air from around America and around the world. You can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro-broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647, P.O. Box 96, out of Exeter, Mo, 65647. Big shout-out this morning to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, 1610 AM, Lompoc, California, AM 1710, Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences this Thanksgiving morning. Our call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. Your calls are always welcome. Of course, all that contact information and so much more can be found at the oraclebroadcasting.com homepage and at the becomevocallocal.com webpage, where our chat room is located. Precious metals, enjoy cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, and a big slice of Martha Washington's apple pie while the TSA enjoys the breasts of U.S. traveling turkeys. That's in the news. A veritable potpourri of Americana and related Thanksgiving Day infotainment. Yep, that's where we're headed today. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go into our market report for this morning. The U.S. markets are closed. However, the spot market, the futures market, all remain open on this Thanksgiving Day. Gold at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time was up $1.80 at $1,374.40 an ounce. Silver off 8 cents at $27.49 a troy ounce. Platinum off 6 bucks at $1,653. And palladium up 2 bucks at $697 an ounce. The metals never go to sleep. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning so far: $1,369.40 for a low, $1,375.80 for a high, but at $1,374.40, your gold is up year to year $181.80, and that's something to be thankful for, a 15.25% return on your investment. The London Gold Fix this morning, the boys in London set the price at $1,370.50, and silver and gold went up from there. The SPDR gold shares this morning reports 1,285.08 metric tons in their electronic treasure chest. Be careful for that spider on the web. Big hands, deep pockets. They claim to have $57.7 billion worth of gold ready for a nanosecond trade. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Much more to come.
Ever ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can, with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself." Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, November the 25th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Let's go back into our market report. Close it out for this morning, Thanksgiving Day, live broadcast coming at you. Gold up $1.80 at $13.74.40. Silver off 8 cents at $27.49. Platinum off $6 at $1,653. And palladium up $2 at $6.97. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed up 151 at 11,187. NASDAQ up 48 at 2,543. And the S&P 500 closed up 18 at 1,198. Crude oil this morning up 30 cents. A barrel at $84.16 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. The U.S. dollar index on the Intercontinental Exchange Inc.'s website, theice.com, up 11 basis points at 79.86. Of course, the Canadian loonie impacted by that as well in the Forex market. And the foreign exchange rates up this morning, 4 basis points, yet still at 99 cents U.S. The Mexican peso up 8 basis points at 8 cents U.S., pegged as it is to the U.S. dollar. If you're traveling in Mexico today for any particular reason, you'll be exchanging your pesos at 12.367879992322. Well, never mind. It's 8 cents a pop, folks. Fill up your pockets with pesos. 8 cents a pop. Get them while they're hot. The euro this morning up 16 basis points at $1.34 against the U.S. dollar. The British pound off 2 at $1.58, and that Swiss franc at parity with the U.S. Buckaroonie. Okay, let's go into some of the discussion we've got going here. A lot of different things. We're not going to cover too much news today. I've got other things on the browser today. We're going to try and play a couple of audio clips and just kind of have a fun day. Your calls are certainly welcome. But before we go all there, let's go over here and go out to Massachusetts and go live to Jeff. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Will. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing quite well this morning, all things considered.
Well, I'm sitting in front of my computer. I'm not at work. I'm not on break. I'm not on pressure to come back to my post. So I'm having a very relaxing day. And you know, I'm going to try to keep it light because it's Thanksgiving. I just got done eating a very unusual meal for Thanksgiving, and that is whole wheat pasta with mozzarella cheese, Parmesan cheese, and other cheeses. And I made a whole pot of it up. So that's going to last me for a couple of days. And you know what? At my workplace, I did something that was vocal local, and that is I talked to a couple of people at my workplace and basically informed them, and this is management of facility operations, one of the managers, and one of my security managers, and said, look, you need to have at least one guy in a management position or yourself trained as an EMT, because something is going to happen in Boston, and you want to have somebody who is certified as an EMT, so when something does happen eventually, there'll be an EMT there to help the people so they don't die. And now even though I went through EMT training, I don't have the equipment at my workplace, and though the stuff I know will kick in, still, it's great to have somebody in a management position who has those kind of skills, who can get people out of the building and who can help people out, because EMTs are not going to go into a fire zone. They're not going to go into a nuclear zone. They're not going to go into a chemical zone if chemical weapons are used, or a biological weapon zone if biological weapons are used, or even an earthquake zone for that matter. EMTs are low paid, are very low paid, and overstressed and overworked. It's just that simple. So,
well, let me ask you a question to clarify for myself, though, Jeff. When I was working in construction, and I have done a considerable amount of construction in my life, but as a journeyman carpenter and as a licensed contractor and whatnot, I used to stay up all the time on the on the first aid training. So you go to the Red Cross, you get all the first aid, the CPR, all that sort of stuff. How much more advanced beyond that does the EMT, the emergency medical technician, how much further than that does their training go?
Oh, plenty. Like for instance, when you're an EMT, you learn about triage. It really gets extensive. It takes first aid, CPR, AED, and all this other stuff. Though those are foundational, guess what? I mean, what I didn't like about the EMT course is you might even have to be a midwife. Though you don't have to use needles on the people, you're doing what a first aid person would do, but then you get more extensive training. The equipment they have for an EMT is much more than that of first aid or first aid. You get bandages. Yes, EMTs do use bandages, but when you see people being put on the stretcher, there's ways of holding people to put them on the stretcher, setting bones, I mean, all kinds of stuff. And a paramedic can use needles on a limited basis. And and you also learn about what the kinds of injuries that people have, how to really detect injuries, detect burns. It really gets extensive. The book, the EMT textbook we had to use was as big as a phone book, but you really learn how to think on your feet, and EMTs have to really move fast. Though those things in first aid and so forth are great, EMTs just bring it up a notch or two.
Well, this is something that I would imagine that most of the people that, you know, you would consider to be first responders, most of the people that volunteer at fire departments, people at various levels in their, if they're a law enforcement officer, if we even had anything like that left in America,
yeah, sure,
those people would probably go through that as well. But, you know, this is the kind of thing that, you know, maybe you could put together and hold it at a let's say, like a hotel conference center or something like that, just rent a room and advertise it, promote it around a little bit on the web, maybe put some flyers out, and hold an EMT training session or two or five for people that wanted to sign up. That way you've got people in various parts of the city, people that maybe would be interested in that, that could come in. Perhaps you could market that and promote it to various businesses in the area so that people would be prepared to be able to avoid the 911 call. I mean, the last thing it seems in America that we want to do these days is to invite the beast in with us. So,
exactly.
You know, the more self-reliant we become, the better.
Yeah, oh no, you're absolutely right. But you know what it is? Well, I'm not promoting this as a big widespread thing. All I care about is the company I work for, my little area where I dropped into the chain of command, and I let them decide what they want to do with it. I'm leaving my company very soon. I'm leaving Boston. This is my game plan. What I'm doing is I'm giving briefs, and I'm wrapping up the shop. Because I know it's coming down the line, and Thanksgiving, we have people in this country who don't even appreciate Thanksgiving. They call it a white man's holiday. That the white man really did screw the Indians over. And yes, there's a certain amount of that. But all this communist propaganda to completely dismantle this country, and that really bothers me because we are so divided that if we really were invaded, The people on the other side would join in with the communists, and it would be this big civil race war, if you will.
Yeah. Well, hey, good stuff, Jeff. Good stuff. We're coming up on a break. I'm going to let you go. And we got Brian Thanks, waiting at the wings on the other side, but certainly you can call in this morning.
Have a good one.
Do.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Angels Don't Play This Harp is the definitive work on the harp system written by Dr. Nick Bagage. This book provides indispensable data on this exotic technology. The U.S. military is using the harp system to manipulate the electrojet, a river of electricity that flows thousands of miles through the sky. The electrojet has become a vibrating artificial antenna for sending electromagnetic radiation raining down on the Earth. The powers controlling the harp system can use this technology to communicate globally. The HARP controllers can manipulate the weather. It's believed HARP can be used for particle beam weaponry, but most ominously, HARP can electronically manipulate human behavior over great distances. You need to know what HARP is because it's already being used on you. Angel, Don't Play This HARP is $18.95 postpaid. To receive your copy, send $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. Again, that's $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
You know, it's sometimes a real challenge trying to figure out whether the guests, whether the callers, whether the chatters really are the, I'd have to say, the backbone of these various talk radio broadcasts, or whether it's the host. We have a guest, or we have a host, we have a caller, and a chatter, and a frequent contributor to the Mind Trust here on Become Vocal Local, who sent me a little bit of work that he's done, and I want to share it with you. It's an audio file, and so I'm going to have to... ask the audience and to bear with us as we do this, and certainly the people in the chat room. I hope that this plays out just right over the air. If it's too low, let me know. I'll adjust the volume up. If it's too high, we'll bring the volume down. And if we need to try it again in the second hour, we'll do that. But this is a very interesting little audio clip that was sent to me. It's all about the holiday flyers, avoiding the scanner log jams as the security's top privacy, and we'll go to that article off Bloomberg after this, but let's see how this plays to the audience. Coming up.
Come fly with me. Full body scans today. I'll pat you down and I'll feel you up, and that means all the way. But it's glad you see I'm with the TSA. Come fly with me, we can use a private room. I'll use my hands. Don't expect to leave here soon. Drop your drawers right now and show me your full moon. Once we get you x-rayed, there's no need to be terrified. Nothing too high will scare Google eye. Once we get your picture, we can share it far and near. You might hear all the angels cheer when they see under your sweater. So step into the scanner right away. If you haven't heard, the dose is absurd. You don't need your hair anyway. Whether x-rays or a pat down, it's okay. So, babe, come fly with me. Come fly the TSA.
Oh, Yeah. Oh, baby. Yes, indeed. Well, that's our listening base, folks. That's Fritz. That's Fritz from Missouri. He's the show archivist. You can get copies of these broadcasts. Perhaps Fritz will even send you a copy of that wonderful production. Just simply send him an email at show.archive@gmail.com. That's show.archive@gmail.com. I thought that was absolutely precious. Really nice. I mean, Marty Bellin couldn't do a better job. Sonny Turner and the Platters. Well, that's the kind of stuff we got going. This off of Bloomberg, holiday flyers avoid scanner log jams as security tops privacy. Security tops privacy. You know, that's the kind of stuff that just makes you want to tear your hair out, folks, when you hear it. People that would exchange their essential liberties for temporary security deserve neither their security or their liberty. Anyway, this is what is going down. Mary Jo Kreuler and Julianne Nayer writing for Bloomberg. Thanksgiving holiday flyers accepted new body scanners and moved smoothly through the checkpoints at U.S. airports, including New York's LaGuardia and Chicago's O'Hare, on one of the year's busiest traveler days. All right? That's the sheep. It's all the cattle. As passengers packed planes yesterday ahead of today's holiday, most ignored protest groups a call to opt out of scans and undergo a lengthier pat-down, and there was no unusual disruption or waits at three dozen of the biggest airports, according, and you got to check your sources here, to the U.S. Transportation Security Administration. Of course, it doesn't tell us how many people decided that they just flat out weren't going to fly and didn't, how many people canceled their plans or changed their plans, how many people went to Rent-A-Wreck and rented a car and drove instead, but the lack of log jams at the screening stations gave a boost to the TSA and marked a setback to the critics of the new body imaging technology. Protesters had hoped that travelers requesting physical searches would create snarls and spur the agency to change procedures. Oh, boy. Even before Thanksgiving, a significant majority of Americans are supporting what TSA is doing, or at least is tolerating it because of the world in which we live with the terrorism threat, said Richard Bloom, director of terrorism and security studies at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Prescott, Arizona. And Brian from Arizona, I mistakenly hung up on you when I was hanging up on Jeff, so do, if you're listening, please call back in. At most airports, including New Jersey's Newark, Boston, and Miami, only a handful of people skipped the scans, the TSA said on its website. Atlanta's airport, the world's busiest, also operated normally. If you recall yesterday, I was talking about these various hubs, these places where people have to go through. You know, you fly from one little town to a little bit larger city, but if you're going across the country, you've got to transfer from one plane to the other, or they have, you know, stopovers and layovers. But that's the place you're most likely to find these full-body scanners. Annual predictions. Every year, the naysayers predict delays and long lines. This year, certainly even with more of the opt-out movements, said Ann Davis, a spokeswoman for TSA's Northeast region, which encompasses New York, New England, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, those predictions aren't coming to fruition. A little, just going to hit a couple of the quotes here from this article. I can understand that people may be uncomfortable, but to protest and go that far, it's ridiculous, said Albert Ortiz. This young man is 24 years old. He's a third-year law student at Fordham University in New York. All right, and he was bound for Dallas from LaGuardia. I can understand that people may be uncomfortable, but to protest and go that far, he says, it's ridiculous. That's your new crop of legal minds coming out. I don't know what they're teaching him in law school, but they haven't taught him anything about our history. We're going to go into a little bit of that his story as we go through the broadcast. Lines at O'Hare International Airport, a hub for the United Continental Holdings, Inc. and AMR Corp's American Airlines, ran no longer than any day before Thanksgiving, said Karen Pride, a spokeswoman for the Chicago Department of Aviation. Here's another one. A lot of leisure travelers don't have much experience with this, said George Hamlin. A little bit less than expected? Well, anyway, we'll pick that all up right after this.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Visit us online at oraclebroadcasting.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And there's another website out there. It's We Won't Fly. It says wewon'tfly.com. And it says act now, travel with dignity. But, you know, just in case you have thought that going to somebody's house for Christmas or Thanksgiving, you know, was the time to delay and so on and so forth, there's always the return flight, too. And then there's the next flight, and then there's the next flight, and then there's the next flight. So it's up to you. It depends on how much you're willing to exchange, how much of your liberties you're willing to give away for the security of the TSA. Of course, you know what a nonsensical thing all of that is. Let's jump over here and grab this one. I don't want to go into this very long or very far, but basically this article is a rather an interesting one, only from an educational standpoint. It begins this way off Bloomberg. Not far from where the Federal Reserve Chairman Benjamin Shlomo Bernanke grew up, a revolution inside a Campbell Soup Company plant explains why U.S. corporations are piling up profits with little need to hire more people. We talk about productivity all the time, you know, and productivity is a very important criteria in the economic matrix. But we've had changes in productivity all along the course, all along the road of the development of this country and Western Europe and around the world. But this story tells a little bit about it. Workers such as Big John Fillmore, a 28-year-old Campbell veteran, listen now, huddle every day with management in situation rooms before their shifts to find ways to save money for the company. Have you ever been in a situation room in a company where you live at? I don't know. Do they have situation rooms in the back of the Walmarts? You get together every morning and huddle with the management and try and brainstorm ways to save money for the company? Wow. Times have changed since I was in the workforce. Rising productivity is helping boost profit margins here in Maxton, North Carolina, where 858 workers turn out a billion meals a year, and at most of the 243 non-financial companies in the Standard & Poor 500 Index with rising profit margins. Companies slashed 8.5 million jobs during the worst recession since the Great Depression, while also showing capital investment plans. Campbell, the world's largest soup maker, DuPont Company, the third biggest U.S. chemical maker, and UPS, the world's largest package delivery service, are asking workers to help save cash by working smarter with existing technology. A potential cost? Efficiency gains reduce the chances recession casualty jobs will come back. All right? So the whole idea about productivity is once you bring in all of the machines and the robots and things like that, you can basically pare your workforce down and down and down and down until you have nothing left but a skeletal force. And, of course, in Agenda 21, there's a discussion in there under labor that points to a time in the developing countries where we'll need to have labor-intensive work. We've talked about that in the past. It's like building the pyramids, all right? We need to have more hands. We need to have more backs. You know, yo-ho, heave-ho, lift that bale, tote that burden, all that nonsense, all right? So it's a double standard. There's the standard in the developed nations, and then there's a standard being set for the developing countries as well. But efficiency, technology, and all of that serves to eliminate unskilled labor and replace them with machines. And that's something that everyone from Aldous Huxley and George Orwell and everybody else has been talking about for a very, very long time. Part of the discussion of Thanksgiving looks to that. All right? And we could go on. I could talk about the mining disaster in New Zealand. What a shame that was. You know, 29 people presumed dead in the nation's worst mining tragedy. Of course, the Chileans are sending their sympathy and empathy along with that as well. These guys didn't have quite the same shake as they did in Chile. It was basically, you know, an explosion that brought them to their end, most likely. Mine shafts and robots and all things aside, they didn't have a chance. They're pretty well fried on the get-go. But let's go all the way back into time here. Go to the and understand what is this. Who knows the name? Who knows the term? Thane. A T-H-A-N-E. Thane. Came across this. One of the interesting things about doing research out of encyclopedias, it precedes the Thanksgiving Day discussion, all right? But I'm always looking for things, and I've seen this before, but I'd forgotten it. A thane. The thane is the name of an ancient rank among the English or the Anglo-Saxon. It's a free man, not noble, was raised to the rank of a thane by acquiring a certain portion of land, 5 hides for a lesser thane, by making 3 voyages at sea or by receiving holy orders. You could be raised in your status to a thane. Right? T-H-A-N-E. The idea of having property holding. You know, there's some things that you could say as a qualified elector as opposed to a voter. A qualified elector in the minds of our founders would be a property holder, a thane, or someone who had made 3 voyages at sea, or by receiving holy orders from the church's offices. That's a key word, offices. Offices, whether connected with the constant personal service of the king or only during his residence in the thane's district or with the administration of justice, were entrusted only to the thane. Offices. If you're an office holder, you're a property owner, or you've made 3 voyages at sea, or you've received or accepted, you've received holy orders, a thane. And they alone were in personal service of the king. Continuing, were entrusted only to the thane whose landed property was a guarantee for his conduct. So you got these batards in your city hall, all right? First of all, they need to be thanes to hold those offices in English or Anglo-Saxon thinking. and it's their land. It's that landed property which stands as their bond, as their guarantee that they'll discharge their duties appropriately. And when they don't, obviously, you foreclose on your guarantee. The Anglo-Saxon thanes were the predecessors of the Norman barons and baronies, all right? So let's look at Thanksgiving Day just briefly. In the United States, an annual festival of Thanksgiving for the mercies of the closing year, all right? This is a very important time of year. We started this discussion out looking at November the 2nd with the elections, and then November the 11th, and we went through all of that. Really, we needed to start on, and we did, on Halloween, All Saints, All Hallowed Eve, All Saints Eve, Martin Mass, and all of that, bringing in, dragging in the Druids and everything else, all right? So this whole time period right in here is very rich in history, very rich in the mysteries, very rich in the things that are occult, that which is esoteric and that which is exoteric. What is exoteric outside the exoskeleton? That's what is taught in school, and that's what you see on the daily news and in the, I guess, lamestream media. The esoteric is that what's running in the background like a drone underneath all of these stories, his stories, all right? But the day is fixed by proclamation of the president. Did anyone here, Barry the Usurper, come out and proclaim the day? Thanksgiving Day this year. I missed it. The president's proclamation makes the day a legal holiday in the District of Columbia and in the territories. Now, how many of the several states are actually territories and how many of them are not? You know, when I was young, I was raised up of a young man in the state of Alaska. I remember being with my little brother on the day that Alaska became a state. We thought that the Russians were coming. All of the sirens were blowing on the military base and all around town. The sirens were wailing and we were in our fort in a abandoned cement mixer. Well, we had candles and magazines. You know, what else do you do when you're young, all right? Anyhow, we were in this huge cement mixer that was used to build the Alaska Railroad. And it was a railroad cement mixer. It had been just stuck in the middle of a field. And when we crawled up inside it and found it to be a dandy fort that could provide shelter in the rain and be a quiet, private place for us to go and hide during the daytime, oh, well, we played in there a lot. But boy, did we come out of that cement mixer like rockets on fire and heading for home, because we were sure the Russians were coming. The Russians were coming. But territories, at that time, Alaska was a territory. Didn't get its statehood until 59, all right? In 1789, well, I shouldn't stop there. Again, the territories, big issue, large discussion involved with the territories. Are all the several states today territories? Are they considered territories of the FedGov? What about all this offshore land that we talked about with the National Ocean Council? Is that territorial lands? In 1789, the Episcopal Church formally recognized the civil government's authority to appoint such a feast. And in 1888, the Roman Catholic Church also decided to honor a festival which had long been nearly universally observed, though nowhere with as much zest as in the New England states, where it ranks as the great annual family festival, taking the place which in England is accorded to Christmas. Christmas. The earliest harvest Thanksgivings in America were kept by the Pilgrim Fathers at Plymouth, we'll go into that in a bit, in 1621, and was repeated often during that and the ensuing centuries. Look at the history. We'll talk about it a little bit. Don't proclaim to know it all, but we're going to go into it in a little greater detail.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived.
go to teamspeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is teamspeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. teamspeak.cc.
Thomas Jefferson said, paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself. Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny smashing cutting edge talk radio.
And of course, you know, before we get into too much detail with all of the history, we do need to remember some of American history, and I like to remember it started off this way, especially on Thanksgiving. This is a cut from Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant. Let's see if we can get this one to play.
You might have heard this before. I know I have. This song is called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant was never the name of a restaurant. That was always just the name of this song. And I guess that, well, that's probably why I still call this song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. I wasn't gonna sing the song tonight, or this decade. But I realized sometime earlier this year that it had been 26 years since this came out as a movie, and it was 2 years before that that it came out as a record. And it was 2 years ago on the record, which means it was like 30 Thanksgivings ago. 30 years ago on Thanksgiving, when my friend and I decided to go up and visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice didn't used to live in a restaurant. She used to live in the church nearby the restaurant, in the bell tower, with her husband Ray and Pacha the dog, and Living in the bell tower like that, they used to have a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. Seeing as how they took out all of the pews and having all that room, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, found the place was filled with garbage, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the town dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction and headed on toward the town dump. We got there. There was a sign, a chain across the road, and the sign said, "Closed on Thanksgiving." We had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before. And so with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset, looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one, till we come to a side road. And off at the side of the side road, there was a 15-foot cliff. And at the bottom of the cliff, there was another pile of garbage. We decided that one big pile would be better than two little ones. Rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat. Went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning, when we got a phone call from Officer Obie. He said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage. Just wanted to know if you had any information about it." And I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obie. I cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage." It was after speaking to Obie for about 45 minutes on the telephone that we finally arrived at the truth of the matter. And Obie said we had to go down and pick up the garbage, and we also had to go down and talk to him at the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one of two things that Obie could have done at the police officer station. And the first thing was he could have given us a medal for being so brave and honest on the telephone, which wasn't very likely. Hey, we didn't expect it. The other possibility was he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again, which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that we hadn't counted on. We was both immediately arrested, handcuffed, and I said, "Obie, I don't think I can pick up the garbage with some handcuffs on." He said, "Shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car." And we sat in the back of the patrol car and drove to the folks scene of the crime, unquote. Friends, I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this was happening. They got three stop signs, two police officers, and one police car. But when we got to the scene of the crime, there was five police officers and three police cars, being the biggest crime of the last 50 years, and everybody wanted to get in the newspaper story about it, and they was using up all kinds of cop equipment they had hanging around the police officer station. They was taking plaster tire, track footprints, dog smelling prints. They took 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. They took pictures of the approach, the getaway, the northwest corner and the southwest corner, and that's not to mention the aerial photography. And it was after the ordeal, we went back to the jail. Obie said he's going to put us in a cell. He said, "Kid, I'm going to put you in a cell. Give me your wallet and your belt." And I said, "Obie, I can understand you wanting my wallet, so I don't have any money to spend in the cell. But what do you want the belt for?" And he said, "Kid, we don't want any hangings." And I said, "Obie, did you think I was going to hang myself for littering?" Obie said he was making sure, and friends, Obie was, because he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and drown, took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars, roll the toilet paper out the window, slide down the roll, have an escape and get away. Obie was making sure, all right. And it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice? This is still the song about Alice, and Anyway, Alice combined with a few nasty words to Opie on the side. She bailed us out of jail. We went back to the church, had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat. Went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning, when we all had to go to court. We walked in, sat down. Obi come in with the 27 8x10 color glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us, and he sat down. A man come in. He said, "All rise!" And we stood up, and Obi stood up with the 27 8x10 color glossy pictures, and the judge walked in with a CNI dog. Sat down. We sat down. Obi looked at the CNI dog, and then at the 27 8x10 color glossy pictures, and looked at the CNI dog. And Obi began to cry, because Obi come to the realization that this was a typical case of American blind justice, and there was no way the judge was going to look at the 27 8x10. Well, it didn't matter, because we was fined $25 each. We had to pick up the garbage in the snow. That's not really what I come to talk about so much. I just thought I'd mention it. And I know there's probably some people sitting here tonight thinking this is some kind of nostalgic ballad or something. And I hope so. You never know, they still got that building down in New York City on Whitehall Street. And others like it all around America. And that's where you used to have to go get injected, inspected, detected, infected, neglected, and selected. And I remember I had to go in there one morning a long time ago for a physical examination. So I got good and drunk the night before, because I wanted to feel my best when I went in that morning. I mean, I wanted to be like the all-American kid. And when I went in that morning, I was hung down, I was run down, I was hung up. I was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly-looking things. I walked in, I sat down. "Give me a piece of paper," I said, "Kid, see the psychiatrist, room 604. I went up there. I said, "Shrink, I want to kill. I mean, I want to kill. I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead bird bodies. I mean, kill. Kill, kill, kill." And I started jumping up and down, yelling, "Kill, kill." And he started jumping up and down.
Oh, yeah. Arlo Guthrie, "I Want to Kill, Baby." Alice's Restaurant. We're going to go to the break. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
"Angels Don't Play This Harp" is the definitive work on the harp system written by Dr. Nick Bagage. This book provides indispensable data on this exotic technology. The U.S. military is using the harp system to manipulate the electrojet, a river of electricity that flows thousands of miles through the sky. The electrojet has become a vibrating artificial antenna for sending electromagnetic radiation raining down on the earth. The powers controlling the harp system can use this technology to communicate globally. The harp controllers can manipulate the weather. It's believed harp can be used for particle beam weaponry, but most ominously, harp can electronically manipulate human behavior over great distances. You need to know what harp is, because it's already being used on you. Angel, Don't Play This Harp is $18.95 postpaid. To receive your copy, send $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. Again, that's $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530.
Looking for news and real information? You found it. You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, November the 25th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Even today, Thanksgiving Day, let's go live, go to Dallas, and say good morning to Drew. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Will. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing very good. It's a very cold Thanksgiving here in Dallas. I wanted to call and tell you that other than a happy Thanksgiving, I was the one who sent you that the email yesterday, the Mother Jones email.
Oh, yeah.
Regarding the Agenda 21 and the Tea Partiers.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to give you my two cents about this. And really, it saddened me when I read this because I have it on Google, on my Gmail account, where it auto-searches the web and they send me emails when certain keywords come up. And I get hundreds of Agenda 21 and sustainable development emails a day. So, I don't get a chance to look at all of them. But on this one, you know, when I saw that, it made me really think that this touched home to where I think that the next step is going to be with how they're going to frame this conversation. Because it seems that when it's obfuscated and when it's, you know, when it's hidden, then they can work and they can do things freely. But when it's brought out to the light, as you so put it, then I think that maybe it does more damage. Maybe then it's the bull in the china cabinet.
It certainly is, and you noticed when you looked at that article, and of course because of your social media connection there, you understand as well that every it's like going into the in and out of the garbage pail. Every possible phrase, every possible link, every possible part and piece of the Agenda 21 discussion was included in that article. Campaign for Liberty, Agenda 21, Smart Growth, New Urbanism. All of those key phrases are in there. And so if you're connected to one of these automated search machines, just about everybody would get that article. So it was twofold. One was a promo for that writer and for their friend for Mother Jones. And then second, it was a slant that I think it was Stephanie took on that article where she revealed, A, either her ignorance of the issues, and I think that might be the case, or her disdain or her mirth for those that would go up against something she strongly believes in, advocates for.
Yes, and I had an opportunity, and I fortunately, it's like, you know, hearing something or reading something that you shouldn't. I read all of the user comments, all the people who, you know, had things to say back and forth. And, you know, I've been to Mother Jones a time or two, and I've walked by their advertisements at the publication stores, and I've seen their covers with, you know, pro-abortion and pro, you know, whatever secular beliefs they have. And it disdains me to see that all these people follow them. But I read all of their people's opinions, and these people had, you know, quiet intellectual points of view. But in the end of it, I realized that though these people may be coming out with very intellectual points of view, in the end, it's a different form of belief. There's people who believe that freedom is the ultimate answer and the ultimate question. And there are those who believe that, you know, if we all get into a nice community, we can help all the puppy dogs with all the pretty eyeballs, you know?
Exactly, and part of that we can see in those TSA articles this morning as well, because there are people that are coming out of law school right now, this Ortiz, and there's many others who have been in this, let's say, this struggle for a very long time. It's just like Earth First, for instance, and Greenpeace. You know, when they first started out, there were some noble things in their minds. But ever since the Maurice Strong advancement from the Presidio, the advancement of the Club of Rome's Agenda 21 program, things went downhill, and they went downhill real rapidly. The idea of turning people's eyes away from freedom to the ecology, which I experienced, I believe, on the second Earth Day in Berserkly, California, People's Park, that was quite an event, because in a way it kind of shook me up. Everybody had come to the park that day to listen to music and see the jugglers and the other things, you know, all the people that hang out in People's Park in Berkeley. But they didn't come to get dialogued into consensus on Earth Day. But stay right there, Drew. We'll bring you back after these words from our sponsors.
Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HeartDrop.com.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And certainly your calls are welcome this morning on Thanksgiving Day, folks. The call-in number is 866-841-1065. Let's go back to Dallas. Drew, so the idea then that I was trying to get out there in that short segment is that this idea, this Gaia worship, this Mother Earth thing, even the Mother Earth news, you know, that was quite a process. And, you know, you look back at the beginnings of Google and the influence that Mother Earth News and the Whole Earth catalog and all that all had on the process that we hear all the time about, you know, people wanting to be, you know, sustainable and all of this. I try and bring a little reason to the discussion and point instead to self-reliance. Go back to the Lincoln-Douglas debates at the opening of Douglas, Lincoln and Douglas debates at the opening of his campaign. Abraham Lincoln had his trenchant saying that a house divided against itself cannot stand. I use that all the time out of Matthew. But he continued, he says, I believe this government cannot endure permanently half slave and half free. And so then we go and we look at the civil rights movement and we look at the perversions in the Constitution, and we discover that the radical red Republicans did not free the slaves, they enslaved us all. We can't have a country that's half free and half slave, so we bring us all into bondage. And I think that's much of what the article could have gone towards in Mother Jones and didn't. And the slur on Donna Holtz for going around and being a citizen activist and speaking truth to power. And, oh, gosh, she was handing out pamphlets and literature and information, maybe getting the black and the white in the eyes of the people at those public meetings. You know, this is all the stuff that makes Become Vocal Local what it really is. But continue with your thoughts.
Well, I think that when people bring something to the table, they always have their agenda, be it the author, the writer, the activist. And we all have our individual, independent rights and agendas. And when you get on the Internet, when you have all these people, these authors, and I'm getting to the point now when I'm reading so much of these, I think that they're writing less for the point and more for the paycheck. But when you have so many people with so many agendas, I think they forget to know that it's the right, and it's the fact that they have their independent thoughts that makes them so free, but rather they would want a communitarian, a commune-like system. And that makes me think that this has been going on through history. You know, I happen to believe in extreme antiquated history. I think we've been around for, you know, more than maybe 6,000 years when it comes to culture and society and progress. But, you know, this has been happening for years and years, and for us to look at this now, Agenda 21 and, you know, the Earth Summit and all of this Gaia believing, all this Earth worship, you know, I'd like to think, where were we and where are we going? And why, this is my question to you, why has it been so hard for us to obtain that ultimate freedom that, you know, I hate to think that, you know, Walden had it wrong, but, I mean, you know, where do we find it? Where do we ascertain that ultimate freedom other than looking forward to the next life?
Well, there is that. You know, that's always putting things off to the hereafter, and that really fired people up for a very long time, especially as Christianity took hold of Western Europe. So a lot of people do look to that life in the near after. But I think that you're right when we think about it from the standpoint of leaders and rulers. Now, the other day on another network, Jeff Bennett gave a very good rendition of something that I've floated for years on my radio broadcast, but this idea of the Joseph principle. All right, you go back to Egypt, you go back into the Bible, and you follow the story of Joseph, who was betrayed by his brothers, thrown in a pit for his multicolored coat, and sold into bondage, found himself in Egypt, interpreted the dream, was brought up to the Pharaoh, and then basically he was promoted to the level of a grand vizier. But if you study that story very carefully, what you see is the grand vizier. Now, the grand viziers have been with us before that time period. I'm sure it was allegorical, but it has also been with us even into today's time period. We have those that stand beside and behind. It's like Rahm Emanuel. On a lot of the photographs that you see, the stills that I saw of Barry the Usurper, off of his left shoulder, sitting behind him maybe 10 feet, was Rahm Emanuel. That's the grand vizier. That's the one that stands in the background. These are the ones that are really always the trouble. Not the Pharaoh, not the Amen, not the Amenhotep. They're the front man for the story, okay? They put off the happy face. But it's the guys that stand in the background. So the grand viziers have risen up in every society, whether we're talking about the destruction of Greece or the Hittites or the Romans, and all the way across through the development of Western Europe and now into the United States and in all across America, around the world, in all of the various and several states, we have grand viziers. We have the city clerk running poison from the background. We have the county clerk running poison in the background. We've got the lesser aldermen sometimes running poison in the background. We've got academia bringing in the Rockefellers and the various foundations with their power and their influences. Rene Wurmser expounded in his book. We've always had these people with us because it's an easy way for someone to gain power. We look at the established political party system, the two-party political system, and what is the purpose of the parties, even from the study of political science. It's to gain proximity to or complete control of governments. We can look at the word parliamentarian. Parlia, parley, parl, lia, ligare. It's a tie that binds. It's a vine. Ligare is a vine that grows up the host like a what it would be a good example there's a couple of vines. There's a wild grape in the Ozarks that grows up into the trees, the black walnuts and the oaks, and it sucks its life out of the trees, and eventually through the weight of the vines, it kills the trees. Yet the vines reach out and they touch another tree and they continue to spread. And this is this legere parliamentarianism, a house divided. The idea of being able to create a system of government based upon majority rule, the greatest good or the greatest number, all these things serve to destroy freedom, individuality, and the things that we would hold dear if we look forward into a time of greater and greater freedom and less tyranny and despotic control. So all of this stuff is at play all of the time in history, in recorded history that I've been able to see and read about. And part of what we're discussing today with Thanksgiving points to that is that there are those who have always had to manipulate the people's minds so that they didn't realize just how far down into slavery and subjection they are to a very, very few who always seem to hold top positions. And those top positions change. They're, you know, the archons, they're the cadres throughout history. Those families change. But the goal is always the same.
Well, and I'll end on this note. I finally mustered up the will to comment on at least one person's opinion on that report. And the best thing I could come up with, and it hit me like a bag of rocks, was that everybody rails against the pilgrims and the our founding fathers for raping and pillaging the American Indians and their way of life and their culture. Yet our eyes glaze over, and we forget, and then we move into the future, and then we have all these greenies and everybody trying to obfuscate and trying to destroy our heritage and our culture and our way of life. And when I say our, I mean, you know, the rural way of life and you know, the farmer and whatnot. So, I mean, I think our life is shrouded with our inner demons and our ego, and, you know, without going too deep into lofty words.
Is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself." Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
Right here on Become Vocal Local. Had a little bit of a power surge there. Last lost comments from our caller, Drew from Dallas. Good comments that were being made, though. Really enjoyed that. Yeah, we do have to deal with a lot of nonsense as we try and figure out history. Here's a little bit of nonsense that's out there. Some of you may remember this. Let's see if we can get this one to play.
When the surge of civilization pushed onward to broader horizons, and the mighty breed of man wrested new life from the wilderness. But close on the pioneer trail came the renegade horde, land sharks, highwaymen, cattle thieves, terrorizing settler and tribesmen alike, until one man rose to challenge their lawlessness, his face masked, his true identity unknown. Accompanied always by a faithful Indian companion, he thundered across the frontier, appearing out of nowhere to strike down injustice. His sign, a silver bullet. His name, the Lone Ranger.
Hail Silver! Away!
Well, that's the way that I grew up, listening to things like, the Lone Ranger. This is the kind of history that we're fed early on. It glamorizes. It makes a really interesting story. But from a factual standpoint, well, it's dependent upon the screenwriters. It's dependent upon who's financing the media, who's financing Hollywood, you know. What is the message that they want to put out? Sometimes they want to put out a very strong nationalist approach, and sometimes they want to bring out something anti-nationalist. Sometimes they want to bring out communitarianism, sometimes communism. Who knows? I mean, we're always subject to all of these various and vague influences in our lives, all right? So here on Thanksgiving, looking into a little bit of the his story, this again continuing out of just a general article out of the Encyclopedia Americana, probably written quite early, probably in the 1920s, maybe as late as the 1930s. This is a 1950s volume. But many of the articles that appear in this set of encyclopedias were the original articles. It was published, I believe, back in 1919. But continuing where we left off, the earliest harvest, Thanksgiving in America, was kept again by the Pilgrim Fathers of Plymouth in 1621. Now, up on Blacklisted News, there's another article. Another researcher has gone in and dug around and found some what he perhaps considers to be more truth. And I think Drew brought up a good point that a lot of people out there that are writing, even in the blogosphere, it's all pennies for dollars, you know, whether it's on News with Views or, you know, WorldNet Daily or whatever, you know, group is contracted with you to provide articles. You write the best you can and you put them out. And where's the truth in all this? Well, it's up to us. You know, we listen to everybody, read anything, believe nothing until you can prove it in your own research. Back to the article here. Continuing, Congress recommended days of Thanksgiving annually during the Revolution and in 1784 for the return of peace, as did President Madison in 1815. Washington appointed such a day in 1789 after the adoption of the Constitution, and in 1795 for the general benefits and welfare of the nation. Since 1863, the presidents have always issued proclamations appointing the last Thursday in November as Thanksgiving Day. All right? It just kind of goes that away. There's a lot more that can be said about it. And I'll just look at some of the various and sundry materials. Years ago, I put together a rather lengthy talk on this for this day. and I refer to it from time to time as a way of expediting thinking. But you can go back through the various and sundry encyclopedias, and if that's your only source of information, then, you know, it's almost tough luck. It's almost tough luck. One of the things that we have to deal with today as researchers, and fortunately we do have the intrepid internet and all of the people that get out there, but at one time, not too all that long ago, you were pretty well, you know, limited to books. And if you didn't have the books in your library, you had to sometimes travel at great distances or spend a lot of money and time working with an antiquarian to find these books. A very revealing book in my library is a Lamp of Experience, Wig's Guide there. And it shows, it gives a list of all of the, not all of them, but a large number of the books that were found in the founders' libraries, their own libraries. Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, those kind of things. All right, you know, all the presidents have their library, not to say that any of those presidents nowadays, I don't imagine that, other than the little goat that, and maybe the Scofield Reference Bible, I wouldn't imagine that Jorge Bush read very much, but it's hard to say. But certainly one of the books that is in my library is History of the United States by Beard and Beard, and this was published through the Macmillan Press back in 1948. And Charles A. Beard and Mary R. Beard are, as far as historians in this country concerned, especially for the teaching of history, you know, up in, ranked up near the top. and yet, if you study the material carefully, you can see that over, if you can control the education, if you can control the teaching of history and shape generation after generation, if you have control of the commas and the periods, if you can come back through and edit the material, inserting this and taking this out, things can really be rather convenient for the master blasters. But it's interesting the way it starts off. Chapter 1, America Discovered by Europe. Europe, once frightfully ignorant of geography. You know, you've heard it said that if you were to go and ask any dozen people on the street, where is Iraq or where is Afghanistan or do you know where Tajikistan or Uzbekistan is, Pakistan, people largely wouldn't know. And yet they're willing to rah, rah, rah and wave their little plastic Chinese flag, you know, and drive around in their suck UV with their Save the Troops, you know, stickers on the back of them. But they really don't know. And so these authors, the Beards, found that Europe once was frightfully ignorant of geography. 600 years ago, they write, students of geography in Western Europe knew little about the surface of the earth. They were familiar with the general location of the British Isles, the coast of Europe bordering the Atlantic, the outline of the Mediterranean Sea. They also had a vague idea about Northern Africa and the form of Southern Asia from the Red Sea to the lower part of China, of Russia and the vast region stretching eastward into China. They knew almost nothing, and I might say that we know little today. Some of them thought the world was flat, and none suspected that two huge continents, now called the North America and South America, lay far across the Atlantic. Concerning Australia and innumerable islands of the ocean, they had no knowledge at all. Now, we know from our own research that was not all-inclusive, and that there was a very good reason to keep the people ignorant, and especially it would be very useful to keep the ignorant people ignorant if you were a church, for instance, like the Catholic Church, or if you were a ruler, like some despot, you know, tin pot, divine right to rule king. It's the same sort of a thing that's floated by the Rockefellers, and the idea that, you know, and the Carnegies, the idea is that we don't want to have really bright students. What we want to have is people who are willing to stand on a nice, comfortable mat and reach up and grab hold of the handle, and have a nice lamp over their head and a conveniently placed counter, and pull that handle all day long for 8 hours a day at just the right pace. We don't want to damage the productivity numbers here in this country. And so we want people to produce conveniently and comfortably, be content with their lifestyle, and then go out and spend all of their money and go dreadfully into debt for Thanksgiving and Christmas and Black Friday and elsewhere. So all of the merchant man's holy days are promoted big time, and the sheeple none the wiser. And then it continues, and it talks about preparing for a great adventure, early Oriental travel and trade and so on. But if you go back and you read the Bible and begin there, for instance, you know, even at that time, the idea that the, you know, that the Hebrew, that Egypt or Babylon or Sumer or what became Palestine was the center of the universe and that the planet Earth was sitting on the back of a turtle, my, oh my. Well, we'll be right back.
Home of cutting-edge talk radio. Online, worldwide, at oraclebroadcasting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Angels Don't Play This Harp is the definitive work on the harp system written by Dr. Nick Bagage. This book provides indispensable data on this exotic technology. The U.S. military is using the harp system to manipulate the electrojet, a river of electricity that flows thousands of miles through the sky. The electrojet has become a vibrating artificial antenna for sending electromagnetic radiation raining down on the earth. The powers controlling the harp system can use this technology to communicate globally. The harp controllers can manipulate the weather. It's believed harp can be used for particle beam weaponry, but most ominously, harp can electronically manipulate human behavior over great distances. You need to know what harp is because it's already being used on you. Angel, Don't Play This Harp is $18.95 postpaid. To receive your copy, send $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. Again, that's $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so certainly most of you, and especially our regular listeners, you can remember on Columbus Day when we talked about Cristobal's Columbo, you know, really about the only thing that he mastered was his fear of falling off the edge of the earth. Of course, he really wasn't afraid of falling off the edge of the earth. Everybody knew full well that it was round at the time, and certainly a mariner would. But you don't get that impression when you're living like the Waldenses, tucked away in some valley someplace, all right? Albigensians and others. You just don't have that viewpoint. And we could go into the religious origins of this country, and we'll find a lot of rich heritage there. I guarantee you, people were getting real sick and tired of the established churches in Europe and in England. And they were looking for some place where they could worship out of the Bible as opposed to out of dogma and doctrine. But we'll pass on that briefly. And, you know, we talked about the voyage of Leif Erikson to Vineyard on that day. And so we needn't recover all of that ground. when we look at it, at the idea, well, you know, there's the Indians, you know, the Native Americans, the Narragansetts and the rest, you know, the Algonquin, the Iroquois, the rest of them, that were impacted by the immigrants coming from Europe into North America. And, you know, history bears out and archaeology bears out that they, too, were immigrants. They come from the other way, perhaps. Anyway, you know, and Drew from Dallas pointed out, you know, he subscribes to the longer Earth view. I just try and figure out how many thousands and thousands of years we've been on this planet without getting extended into the millions, because if we've been here for millions of years, we would find traces of it everywhere. And we don't. We find traces of things here and there. And the deeper you dig, and certainly if you find something, don't tell anybody. The Smithsonian Institute will come and steal all of the remnants, dig out your entire property, and put you in jail or 6 feet under. So keep your mouth shut. If you find something interesting, just tell it to your friends, maybe. But how the people got over the sea, this again, Beard and Beard, History of the United States, they do tell a little bit of fact in here. No matter how a colony was started or managed, and that's important, started or managed, all right? These were companies. These were companies. Whether you're looking at Sir Walter Raleigh or any of the rest of them, these were companies. There was no reason for the Queen or the Crown and Parliament assembled, the City of London or anybody else, there was no reason for them to spend and all the money necessary and to allow people to leave the colony, leave England and leave, you know, Europe and just come over here on a vacation like a bunch of tourists. No. No, not at all. There was no reason for that. It was monetary. It's always follow the money. Anyway, immigrants who paid their way, how the people got over the sea. No matter how a colony was started or managed, they start. The passage of immigrants to America had to be paid. Many of the immigrants, of course, were eager to come and had the money with which to defray the cost of the voyage. Now, we could stop right there in a little side note and say that a lot of the people that came here originally had heard of this vast, you know, piles and treasure chests that the Dutch and the Spanish were finding in Central South America, and they came here looking for gold. They were looking for some do-re-mi. They wanted money. Money, money, money. Alfred Edis says, okay? They were looking for money. And when they came over to the North America, they didn't find quite the same kind of a development. The Native Americans in the Northern Hemisphere, in the cooler and colder temperatures, we're more occupied and preoccupied with, you know, killing something and let's have some dinner. Yeah, anyway, so they weren't so, you know, stocked up and overplussed with gold and silver coin. No matter, again, how a colony was started or managed, the passage of the immigrants to America had to be paid. And many of the immigrants, of course, were eager to come and had the money with which to defray the cost of the voyage. What proportion could pay their way is not known. Though undoubtedly a large number belonged to this class. An American historian, Henry Cabot Lodge, claims that, quote, the settlers of New England were drawn from the country gentlemen, small farmers, and yeomanry of the mother country. Many of the emigrants were men of wealth, as the old list shows, and all of them, with few exceptions, were men of property and good standing. Again, go back and start where we began with the Thane, the name of an ancient rank among the English or the Anglo-Saxons, which were property holders, office holders. All right? Men of wealth and property, of good standing. They did not belong to the classes from which emigration is usually supplied, for they all had a stake in the country they left behind. And a lot of them left their lands and went back to their lands. You know, you've all read the stories about Benjamin Franklin. I mean, he was back and forth around. He, what a traveler, global. He was like a Henry Kissinger of his time, maybe someone along that line. But certainly not all the immigrants in New England were free and well-to-do, and in some of the other colonies, a very large number were far from that fortunate state. We've talked about the rewilding of the Scottish Highlands. We've talked about Robert Owen and Manchester and New Lanark and the spinning mills and the Jennies and all of that in the past. In fact, tens of thousands of emigrants were too poor to pay for their passage. This we know from the shipping records. To meet the cost of the sea voyage, ship owners and other persons of means often supplied the passage money to emigrants in return for their promise or bond, bonded in servitude, our bonds that we have every morning we talk about in the economic basket, to work for a term of years to repay the sum advanced, okay? An indentured servant, a bonded servant, working for years. This system was called bond or indentured servitude. Servitude, all right? Now, there's not to be any involuntary servitude in this country. Our documents tell us so, or organic documents tell us so, but there are lots of people that have become bonded or indentured servants. And even today and tomorrow, as people spend the night in the rain here in Missouri, I guess, waiting for Walmart to throw open the doors with all the Black Friday tags on everything. It is probable that the number of bond servants brought to America exceeded the original Puritans. The yeomen, yeoman, get down, the Virginia gentlemen and the Huguenots combined. We start talking about the Huguenots, you know. And look at the religious background in here. Maybe we'll have time for that. The proprietors, continuing, all the way down the coast from Massachusetts to Georgia, these servants, men and women and children, were to be found in the fields, the kitchens, and the workshops, serving out terms of labor generally ranging from 5 to 7 years. In the proprietary colonies, the proportion of bond servants was very high. The proprietors diligently sought workers of every nationality to till their fields, for land without labor was worth no more than the land and the moon. All right? And again, at this particular time period, the writings of Adam Smith, The Wealth of Nations, Land, Labor, and Capital, was the main economic thought of the day, much as Keynesianism has been the past 100 years, the main thread of thought, the idea that you could spend your way into prosperity, which we've discovered does not work. The proprietors diligently sought again workers of every nationality to till their field, for land without labor was worth no more than land in the moon. Hence, the gates of the proprietary colonies were flung wide open. And we could go into the greater detail and discussion of westward expansion and the Homestead Act and all of that. We've talked about credit mobilier in the past, the absolute necessity of getting, you know, boots on the ground all across this vast continent. As our founders were wise enough to say, it was not to be a provincial form of government, but a continental form of government. They knew the meets and the bounds. At the time, they'd sailed around. They'd already been over the Northwest Passage. It had already been discovered. They'd sailed around the Horn and up. You know, they knew the California coastline, the Oregon coastline. They knew the Washington coastline, British Columbia, and some very early journeys up to the Arctic, into the southeastern Alaska. They knew all that stuff, all right? Again, in Pennsylvania, it was not uncommon to find a master with 50 bond servants on his estate. You know, so this is not just all a story about Negroes and, you know, obliterating, you know, the Indians, you know, so to speak, the Aboriginals. There's a big story involved in this. Continuing. It has been estimated that 2/3 of all the immigrants into Pennsylvania between the opening of the 18th century and the outbreak of the Revolution came in bondage. In other middle colonies, the number was doubtless not so large, but it formed a considerable part of the population. And then, you know, you want to think about the various wars that we've had where we've made appeals to foreign, you know, divine right of king magnates, and they've sent over their mercenaries, the mercs. And from them, a lot of those, the Germans especially, have stayed on, as they have the Irish Catholic. The story of this traffic in white servants, we talk about, you know, human trafficking and all that. Well, it's an old story. The story of this traffic in white servants is one of the most arresting chapters in the history of American labor. Bondsmen differed from the serfs of the feudal age in that they were not bound to the soil, but to changing masters who bought them at their convenience. They likewise differed from the Negro slaves in that, and notice they use the word, they weren't hung up on the American hyphen, you know, African hyphen American, or the lowercase b, black. You know, that only came after the civil rights thing. That's what brought the Negro down to the same level of the white. All right? Everybody's lowercase now. But, of course, you notice that the Latinos are still capital L of raza, and Hispanics are capital H. Okay, Hispanic. Well, it won't be long. We'll throw the umbrella over them, too, and they'll be lowercase h and lowercase l. We'll be right back.
I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How is it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So as you go back in and you dig around in the history books and find these various and sundry things to discuss on air, you know, we find a lot that helps us to understand not only who we are, but whose we are. And also keep in mind in these time periods, this is the beginning of the philosophic radicalism in England and Europe, you know. And so much of what has happened in the United States and in Canada has been preceded by activity happening out of England, for instance. You can't even discuss, you know, the idea of philosophical radicalism without bringing up Jeremy Bentham. And then you need to understand the poor laws. You need to look at the liberal movement that was going on in England that then followed its way over to here. And before we go to our caller, which we have caller Bill in Wisconsin, hang on there for a second. I just want to cover this. But these individuals, you know, likewise, different from Negro slaves in that their servitude had a time limit. You know, so that was the thing to look forward to. They had something to work their way through. Not so for those that had indefinite, you know, terms of bondage, just sold like a horse or something, all right? And considered as a horse, too, and sold often without any garments on at the slave block. And treated like a horse. It was, for instance, a common practice to punish them. This, in other words, the white boys. It was common practice to punish them more severely than free men for the same offense. And we see that, you know, this divide again today, where you keep having to ask yourself, how are these batards walking free? How is it that Blank Fine walks free on the streets, having virtually admitted, you know, to his complicity? in the destruction of our economy and others like them, you know. A free citizen of Pennsylvania who indulged in horse racing and gambling was let off with a fine. A white servant guilty of the same unlawful conduct was whipped at the post and fined as well. All right? So it hasn't always just been, you know, mashed potatoes and gravy and a big slice of Martha Washington's apple pie and served up with a giant breast of turkey. It has not always been that way. Let's go to Bill in Wisconsin. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Will. How you doing? What you're talking about hits exactly on one of my favorite books in my library. And I'm just curious if you ever read it or ran across it. It's called The History of the Great American Fortunes by Gustavus Myers, originally written in 1909, and then he came out with another edition in 1936, which is the edition that I have.
Well, that's my time period, and that's my kind of books, but no, I haven't read it, and I don't have it in my library yet.
Oh, it's my favorite. It covers our history from the beginning, and it really explains how we got where we are. It starts off with conditions in colonial times and then hits on all the great American fortunes, which is basically money. And it's all been about money since the first foot was put on eastern shores.
Well, absolutely. And I think it was about money even about the time they sent for the explorations. When the Hebrew boys were being pitched out of just about every place in Europe, you know, they were looking for a place to go, and I think part of that was what was driving Cristobal Colom when he came over here. But at the same time, you know, you can go back to the Knights Templar, you can start there, you could look at the Jesuits, the expansion of that, the creation of the Jesuit order, people looking for some kind of relief from from Vatican Rome, the Waldensians, the Albigensians, the Vaudois, and others that we've discussed on the broadcast. A lot of people wanted to get away, too. But it all took money, and if it wasn't for money, you know, if it isn't for natural resources, well, we wouldn't be in Afghanistan.
Yep, it's always been about money. When I was first reading this, like 25 years ago is when I picked it up, I'd be reading it, and I go, how can he be saying this? What's he talking about? But everything in this book is documented with an appendix through historical records, congressional records. I mean, he documents everything, so it's impossible to say, well, this guy's full of crap, you know, what's he talking about?
Exactly.
It's just a great book, Gustav Myers' History of the Great American Fortunes.
Have you spent any time at all, Bill, looking into the credit mobilier in Europe and America?
Can't say I have.
It's an interesting time period, especially when you know that Henry St. Simon was involved and the St. Simonians were involved in getting that started in Europe, and that they got involved with a knockdown, drag-out battle with the Rothschilds, which they lost. The Rothschilds trumped them, all of that, but that was the beginning of stage routes and telegraph and railroad and that sort of thing, and canal building, the Suez Canal, the Panama Canal, all visioned by Auguste Comte and his followers, these ideas. But this was a very, very clever scheme, as schemes go, where it was basically the opportunity for a very limited number of people to gain an absolute stranglehold monopoly on all forms of transportation. We talk about transportation often in the discussion today. We hear about infrastructure building, transportation, the NASCO corridor and all of that. But it was a major thing that was going down, and it was just chock-a-luck full of graft, corruption, greed. You wouldn't have the Carnegies, you wouldn't have the Rockefellers, if not for credit mobiliers, you know. But it would fit into that. It would fit into Gustav's writings very well. I'm surprised you didn't mention it.
No, I hadn't heard of that one. And this is the same guy that also wrote the history of Tammany Hall at one time back in the early 1900s.
That's a study in itself. That's a study in itself, you know. Again,
yes, it is.
Political parties. It's basically, Bill, it's an ongoing coup. You know, every 2 and 4 years we have another coup in this country, and certain power centers gain control of the government, and we allow ourselves to be led that way. This is one of the reasons why I'm such a staunch abolitionist when it comes to political parties. You know, you have to defragment, you have to decentralize the political process and get it away from places where any one individual can exercise inordinate amount of influence. You've got to take the money out of politics, or politics in our Republican system of government can never function.
Yep, and the money's been part of it, like I said, since day one.
Exactly.
Since day one.
Yeah, really good.
Well, I wish you the best today, Will. I've got bacon on the stove, and I've got things going, but what you were talking about just hit directly on my favorite book in my library.
And thank you very much for calling and sharing that book with us, and I'm certainly going to look it up myself, because I'd like to have that kind of a book in my library. And again, I thank you for your call.
I'd love to.
Okay, well, that was Bill from Wisconsin. Just there's no end to the amount of information that we can acquire. You know, there's no end to the number of books. I'm always being, you know, even in the chat room on a daily basis, we have books and information dropped in. It goes right back to the Bible: ever learning and never gaining the knowledge of the truth, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. I mean, there is a time point where you just have to say, all right, you know, this far and no further, all right, I understand. Or at least I think I understand, and I understand well enough that I can proceed, as how Anthony and I both have said numerous times, knowledge is power. There's certain truth to that. But knowledge is powerful only when it's combined with action. It is not sufficient to know a thing. You must take action upon the things you know. It's not sufficient to know a thing. You must do the thing. And we get bogged down in this paralysis of analysis. And unfortunately, the internet is just a real tool for that paralysis of analysis, where we spend all day researching and researching and researching. And at some point, we have to ask ourselves, why? Why are we gathering more information? Don't we know enough now to take action? Don't we know enough now to get started right where we are and to begin doing something to be part of the change that we're looking for? Isn't it time that we take action upon some of these things? The people, you know, on the internet, everybody opt out. Well, apparently the message didn't get to the airports. There weren't people at the airports. We hear about students, you know, burning down the house in England. We hear about the people in Ireland, pissed off, not going to take it anymore. We hear about the people in Iceland, same thing. Greece, same thing. But what happened to that revolutionary spirit? There's a revolution in the air. We start the broadcast that way. What happened to that revolutionary spirit here in this country? What happened to that spirit of exploration? Did the people that came here to find a place where they could worship their creator along their own understandings, whether they be, you know, Brownists or Separatists or Independents or Segregationists or Congregationalists or whatever, Waldensians, Albigensians, Vaudois, whatever their background, did those people come here just to be servants? Did they come here to be indentured servants? Were they willing to come here, and if they had to get here and spend 5 years working or 10 years working off their passage to be free, was it worth it to them? I don't know, folks. What's our birthright worth to us on this Thanksgiving Day? Thanks for listening. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until the next time, good day.
One precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Thomas Jefferson said, paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself. Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.